Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From the book of Genesis. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now this passage is found in the midst of that familiar Old Testament record that tells of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the efforts put forth for the preservation of Lot and his family. You know the very names of Sodom and Gomorrah are synonyms of evil, indicative of sin. They're like the names of Judas and its association with betrayal, and Pharisee and hypocrisy, Laodicea, lukewarmness. In the city of Sodom lived Lot, and he was a nephew of Abraham. It was the ambition, his ambition and his selfishness and his greed that brought Lot to live in that evil city. When Abraham and Lot divided the land between them, Lot took first choice and chose the choicest of the land in the well-watered plains that led to these cities. And although Lot, for the most part, was a righteous man, he made a bad decision for himself and for his family. It was not very long until he had drifted into the midst of the corruption to characterize these places. And even though he was vexed because of the sinfulness, it was there that he chose to rear his family and to live daily. His daughters married people from that environment, and they were drawn away from the true and living God. But his wife and two of his daughters still lived in his house. Well, God announced his intentions to destroy these cities of wickedness that might be considered a moral cancer among mankind. Such intent was an act of wrath against evil, but it was also an act of mercy for those around these cities. They deserved destruction. God told Abraham of his plan, and Abraham made a plea for the cities. God said he would not destroy them if Abraham could find even 10 righteous men among them, but they could not be found. Angels of God in the form of men came to Lot's house, and it was their mission to deliver Lot. Their message was, Jehovah sent us to destroy this place. They had come to warn Lot, and he urged him, Escape for thy life. And because Lot was basically a good man, and because there was his relationship to Abraham, Lot was given the opportunity to flee. Now these people of Sodom, they were so wicked, they had forfeited their right to live. But God did not desire to destroy the good with the bad, if the good would only give heed to the warning. This is why the angels came to Lot and warned him, Escape for thy life. You see, their mission was twofold, to warn Lot and to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, in a sense, their mission was much like that of Jesus Christ, to save man and to destroy sin. Well, there are those times when the good do suffer with the evil, to be sure, and suffer because of the evil. But there are times when the evil enjoy blessings alongside the good. But God does not want the good to suffer. Eventually there will be the eternal separation of the sheep from the goats, and the wheat from the chaff, and the good from the bad. And for this reason Paul wrote, Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Now this is a lesson that sometimes it seems hard for some of us to learn, the incompatibility between good and evil, and how inconsistent it is to attempt to mix the two together. But God wanted Lot to be spared. God wants those who love him to escape the ravages of sin. He does not want anyone to perish. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But unfortunately, many will refuse and reject his offer of deliverance. This very account serves as one of God's warnings to us. in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." You see, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah is written as a warning even unto me and to you. Now I want you to please note the urgency of the message of the warning these angels gave to Lot. In verse 15 of that chapter, "Then the angels hastened Lot." You see, Lot was reluctant to respond to their warning. They laid hold on him and led him out when he hesitated. "Escape to the mountain," they said, "lest thou be condemned." Well, they were simply saying, in essence, "Up, get you out of this place. This is no time to hesitate. This is no time to lose. God means what he says. You can't survive here as you are." Immediate and urgent action was demanded if Lot was going to be spared. You know how people today need to be impressed with the urgency of their own spiritual salvation from sin? You know, one of the devil's lies is, "Oh, you've got plenty of time yet to make things right with God." But friend, do you not realize in a moment, a very brief moment, life can be terminated? The opportunity for salvation can be forever taken away from you? In the twinkling of an eye, we can be ushered into eternity. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul pled, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Does it not strike you as highly significant that in the accounts of the New Testament conversions, the urgency those people recognized that they needed to respond immediately? Those on Pentecost were baptized the same day. The Philippian jailer was baptized immediately, the same hour of the night. We read in Acts 8 about the Ethiopian. He stopped the chariot at the first opportunity in order to obey the Lord in baptism. They knew, as we must know, salvation from sin is urgent. We know not the day or the hour when life may end, or when the Son of Man might return from heaven. Now, when Lot heard the warning, he had concern for others. He went to his married children and their husbands, but they gave him no heed. The scripture says he seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. They had come to love sin. They were deceived by a wicked life. They had no respect for Lot. They had a dull sensitivity to the warning and to the word of God. They paid no attention to what the Lord was trying to do. Now, there might have been some inclination by his daughters to give heed to their father, but they went the way of their husbands. This is what living in the midst of sin does to a person's mind. It hardens their heart. He comes to the point that he doesn't care, and no amount of persuasion and warning moves him anymore. Now, I know that many of us scoffed at those who send forth a word of warning and the pleading of the Lord to be saved. You may be among those kind of people. But the hearers of Jesus said he's beside himself, Mark 3:21. Felix thought that Paul had gone mad, Acts chapter 26. But friend, hearts can become so hard, and ears so dull of hearing, and eyes so closed, that they pay no attention to the word of God. Why, this is the result of living in this present evil world and partaking of the sinful things of the world. Now, Lot was warned not only to leave the city. He was warned to leave the surrounding plains. It was unsafe for him to remain in Sodom, but he was even unsafe for him to stay near Sodom. He was to flee from the entire situation, and his wife was unwilling to do that. The Bible says she looked back and became a pillar of salt. A halting flight from evil caused her to perish. Jesus warned, "Remember Lot's wife," Luke 17:32. She had left the immediate borders of Sodom. She was on her way to her physical salvation, but she looked back and perished. Friend, we must leave sin, and we must never look back. My dear listener, it is spiritually unsafe to remain in sin. It is spiritually unsafe to remain near sin. Even the mark of wisdom is to flee, as did Joseph, from the opportunities to sin. It's not cowardly to run from sin. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust. We must completely cut ourselves off from the sins of this world that characterizes roundabout. While we strive to save the sinner from the error of his way, we must also realize to shy away from sin. You cannot save the sinner by partaking and continuing to live in and around sin. One who truly hates sin as God hates it will not want to remain under its influence, and he will try to avoid it. Lot's two daughters were saved from destruction because they moved completely away from the cities. As Christians, once having obeyed the plan of salvation, whereby we are washed clean by the blood of Christ, we must keep putting distance between ourselves and sin. And this is accomplished only through growth and spiritual progress. Again, Christ warned, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Luke 9 and verse 62. Yes, destruction fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone destroyed and devoured that city, its inhabitants, everything concerning it, to the extent there's no real trace of it even found today. The blight of humanity, a malignity of transgression, was wiped from the face of the earth. And as surely as Sodom perished, the ungodly of Sodom perished. Jesus said, "But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Luke 17 and verse 29. You see, Jesus looked upon the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah as a literal historical event, and none of the wicked escaped the wrath of God. Hebrews 12 teaches us that our God is a consuming fire. Now, he won't punish unjustly. He's merciful. He's loving. And this he demonstrates even when he gives our warnings to flee from sin. He provides salvation through the supreme sacrifice of his only begotten Son. We can make a clean, pure, complete separation from sin because of Jesus Christ. My dear listener, judgment came to Sodom. Only those who gave heed to the warning were spared the destruction of Sodom. Those that refused the way of safety, they failed. And it's the same with me and you in principle when it comes to our spiritual salvation from sin. Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 23, "The wages of sin is death." The word death means separation. And that is spiritual death, separation from God. That's what sin does. Sin pays. It pays with our destruction. But we can escape for our life. Escape for your life is the warning from God. But we must decide to do that. Christ will save. He offers to save. He died in order that we might be saved. And he invites all that would be saved to come unto him. But, friend, we must decide to come to him. With faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, we can be delivered from the destruction, such as even characterized Sodom and Gomorrah. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.